ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I'm Jo Trilling, and this is Roots and Shoots, ABC Radio Perth's gardening podcast with new episodes twice a week. It's the gardening show for green thumbs and aspiring horticulturalists alike, and the wonderful Sabrina Hahn is here to answer all your curly questions. Sabrina Hahn is in the building. Somebody's saying, how about some of Amelia Lenz? That will get people going, Jo. Okay, we will give it a go. It's 21 past two.
Roots and Shoots with Jo and Sabrina. On Afternoons, 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
Sabby, they've managed to keep the little buzz and the laugh.
I know.
And we're on FM.
I know. It's so exciting. It's my first time on 102.5 FM.
How does she sound, folks? How does she sound?
My voice will be so dulcet and calming and relaxing for everyone out there. I feel sure.
Now shriek. Wake them all up. Hey, Sabby, we've been talking about, Ron sent in a message going, Joe, stop banging on about the CBD. What about, you know, communities in the country? And Absolutely, that is a very valid conversation that we need to have at some point. But Sarah Booth, who was in here earlier, who's just done a Churchill Fellowship, was making the point that Perth is our capital city.
Yep.
Of course, our port city, Wallilup, Frio, important too. But it is our capital city.
Yep.
And clearly there's a bit that needs to be done. Mm. And I've just got a message from somebody, Sabby, saying, look, a key contributing factor is building ownership by large national and multinational companies, often headquartered elsewhere, commonly overseas. Their priority is the return on their investment and profit margins. A sense of community isn't on their priority list. Many small business owners have related how such Perth landlords have become tone deaf about rent increases once they've secured a tenant, and the result are these steadily crippling overheads added onto other factors, which leads also to these vacant shops. I mean, you know,
it's you know, if you travel a lot and you go to other cities all around the world, they are vibrant and they do not close at 5 o'clock. You can get a coffee in cities in Europe after 5 o'clock at night. But I agree with that. I mean, if you don't have people that are invested in the actual place and have some connection to place, so it's basically a business deal, they have no connection whatsoever, it's just an investment. So I remember Leaderville did this at one time. They gave peppercorn leases to young up-and-coming companies.
To activate empty spaces.
And people poured in. We need to do that in our city. And we need spaces, you know, the foreshore in the city. No one goes in there because you feel like you're a rabbit sitting out in a field of green.
Well, Sarah Booth made the point. She was really, really excited to hear from the former mayor of Copenhagen. She spent a lot of time talking to him, who explained to her that 30 years ago there wasn't a Dane on a push bike, and they, I can't remember how many trees she said they planted. I don't know. 800,000 or something. Yep. And obviously tree canopy, something you're passionate about, something we discuss a lot.
Yep.
But there's work to do.
There is. And if you bring in biodiversity, not just in different species and making greenscapes, you want diversity of people coming in. You want young people coming in. You want old people coming in. You've got to give them something to look at, something to do, and a sense of feeling this is your place and this is where you want to be.
Wise words, wise words. Stefano reckons you sound angelic.
Oh, Stefano.
Pat wants to know if you've got free flavoured milk to hand out. Oh, my goodness.
Well, we'll give it a crack.
This dear listener's pointing out that some overseas cities don't open until 10 or 11 a.m. either. And I would add to that that some shut in the middle of the afternoon for a siesta, which I am fully supportive.
Marvellous.
There is a lovely message, Sabby, from Lynn in Bunbury, who says, thank you for your show. She's been listening to you for years. She has learnt so much. Thank you for being so generous with your knowledge. I concur, Lynn.
Oh, thank you, Lynn.
And Lynn says she knows that you need permission to pick up seaweed. She's got access to some. How much is okay to dig into the garden or the compost bin? She doesn't want to pop too much into the garden bed.
Oh, no, you can pop as much as you want in the garden bed. So I would lay it on 10 centimetres thick.
Really?
Seaweed is so good for the garden. And if you have asparagus, oh my goodness, because asparagus loves growing in salty ground. Whack the old seaweed on and your spears will be like a Trojan soldier.
Do you know how to eat asparagus?
Well, I usually just pick it up and shove it in my mouth. But is there another technique?
Currently, it's one of the few things that the royals think is okay to eat with your fingers.
Oh, well, I do. I have to confess,
there
I
you
do
go.
Eat with my fingers. I noticed in Austria, because I was there during the asparagus season in Prague, actually, not Austria.
A very livable city, Prague.
Very livable. Oh, sensational city. But they had those really big, fat, white asparagus. And I noticed all the locals pick those up with their fingers and ate them thusly.
Graham's in Cardinia. What's going on with your lily pillies, Graham?
Actually, nothing's wrong with my Cardinia because I'm in Carina.
Similar. Starts with a K.
I got you and Sabby confused.
That's all right. Accepted. Just to ask, I haven't got lily pillies, but I'm just inquiring. Can lily pillies be sculpted to make a hedge in a narrow garden bed of 75 centimetres wide alongside an exposed brick mortar wall?
Absolutely it can, Graham. Now, you can actually sculpt a lily pilly into a koala or an emu.
Oh, I think Sabby's setting you a challenge, Graham.
Yeah. Or if you've only got a narrow space, you could make it like a snake or...
I'm not that fluent.
Oh, okay. Now, Graham, luckily for you, there are lily pillies that actually grow very narrow and straight up. So one's called straight and narrow. Another one is called pinnacle. And I've forgotten the name of the third one.
Oh.
But there are three really narrow growing lily pillies.
Any problems with the root construction next to a brick wall?
No, they're not going to move your brick wall, Graham. You'll be fine.
As long as I just keep it away from the brick wall when I'm watering on top of it.
Yeah. Oh, you get on top of the brick wall.
No, sorry. Watering over the top of the lily pillies to keep the brick mortar secure from being denuded.
I was just imagining you, Graham, get with a ladder, hopping up on top of the wall and watering your lily pillies from above.
You know what FM stands for? Frisky mind.
Oh, don't get her started, Graham. I'll end up in so much trouble. Good luck with your lily pillies. Matt, we'll come to your call. With
It doesn't grow in the air.
We need to go to Busselton first.
Yeah, let's go Matt's to Busselton. I like
G'day,
Busselton.
Matt.
Hello, Matt.
G'day. How are you going?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it's good. Sabrina, I grow long cucumbers.
Yep.
Right, vertical.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So the problem is I'm not getting enough of them.
Oh.
So is it because they're going vertical?
No.
Or they're flowering well?
No. Matt. Cucumbers grow really well vertically. I reckon they're better vertical than they are horizontal.
Well, they're longer because the ones that I've got on the ground just go round in circles.
Yeah, that's right.
Sounds like a little bit easy.
Yeah.
Make a flower fruit up a bit more.
So go and get some liquid potassium.
Oh, okay.
And then you're going to spray the you'd spray the whole plant with that. So the potassium's actually absorbed. Now, honestly, you're growing your cucumbers the right way. I reckon that all cucumbers should be grown vertically. Much better.
Well, when you pickle them, they taste really nice because you get lots of slices.
Yeah, you do. This is so true, Matt. And they look
interesting.
And
she always bashing you with one.
Cucumber as weapon. Oh, my gosh, Matt. Stop it. Let's head to Waikiki. Oh, it's all about edible growing things afternoon. Hilary, I think, is trying to grow pomegranates. G'day, Hilary.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Hilary.
My husband and I have planted some pomegranates about 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And We're not having a lot of success. Okay, we've got a lot of fruit on one of the trees, but the fruit is splitting.
Okay. And does it split every year?
It did last year, but not as many. We've got like two at the moment, and both have split.
Yeah.
We've got lots of fruit on there, but I don't know why they're splitting.
Okay. So there's a couple of things that cause that. It can be a trace element deficiency.
Okay.
So magnesium and potassium. The other thing is it can be big shifts in temperature. So if you get, you know, you have a mild week and then you get a massive heat wave, that
mm-hmm,
can
mm-hmm.
also cause a split in pomegranates.
Right.
And, of course, there's not much you can do about that, Hilary.
Okay. All right. So we just see how it all goes.
If you can make sure that the watering regime is a regular regime, so, you know, the amount of time that your retick comes on, make sure that's quite regular. I would also give them foliar trace element spray.
Foliar?
Yeah, foliar trace element spray. Yep.
Okay. So because, pomegranates traditionally grow in very arid soil, don't they?
Yes, they do. But
yeah.
It's not the soil where they come from is not as arid as what it is in Waikiki.
Okay.
So there's still more. So I would definitely be adding some compost and fertilizer to your pomegranates.
Now, do you know how to de-seed a pomegranate without getting pink juice all over the ceilings and the walls?
Oh, well, you mean to say when you bash it with a wooden spoon and it splatters everywhere? Do you roll it first?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, and then you bash it.
And then you very carefully cut it up. Ideally not in your sister's kitchen. At Christmas when you've had a martini.
Nor do you do that at Christmas when you're making a pomegranate salad when you're wearing white. It doesn't go down well, especially if the person next to you is wearing white as well.
Good tip, Sabby. Good tip. Marcello in Woodvale says that you are sounding so much more youthful.
Oh.
Not that you aren't. Oh. And he loves listening to your advice and your lovely laugh. And somebody else just sent a message saying the cackle is coming through loud. Clear on the car radio in the country. Let's keep going at 22 to 3. Celia wants your help identifying the plant that I just showed you.
Hello, Celia.
Hello there. I've had some cuttings growing and it's grown, and I don't know when to. Well, I did prune one of them and I killed it.
Oh, that's hard to do. That is
a couple of years ago.
That is a hibiscus. This is the one with the yellow flower.
Oh, is it? A hibiscus?
Yeah, it's a hibiscus. Yeah. Now, it is. Does yours go deciduous? Does it go completely bare in winter?
No.
Doesn't?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. So there's lots of different hibiscus, and in the family there's Gossypium, so it could be one of the Gossypiums. But basically you need to prune them at the end of summer.
Oh, the end of summer.
Yeah.
It's a very small yellow flower.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yep. How do you spell that hibiscus name?
So Gossypium, GOSSYPIUM, Gossypium.
Oh, that's good. Mm. I'll look that up.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much. And
my
how
pleasure.
How much should I prune it back by?
I wouldn't take more than a third off it, Celia, because they tend to die back on the stem if you take more than that off.
There we go. Let's have a chat to Phil, who's in Cable. And you've got a question about rushes, Phil.
Yeah, I'm here.
You've got beautiful
birds.
Hi, I'm Sabrina. I'm a first-timer caller, actually, but anyway.
Welcome, Phil, to 102.5 FM.
Well, thanks a lot, but I won't be able to get it down here. I'm listening on my telly at the moment.
Yeah, you're in Cable. Sorry, yes. But you do have a bunch of lovely birds.
Oh, I've got a macaw and a lorikeet as well.
Oh, macaws are huge.
Yeah, they're massive.
Does it talk?
Oh, yeah, he swears and carries on. And just about to give them a bath, actually.
Oh, hey, you bath the macaw?
Yeah, yeah. I just use a like a spray bottle and stuff, you know. He loves it.
Oh, okay. What's going on with the rushes, Phil?
Yeah, well, you must know them. They're like those things that grow everywhere in swampy areas and stuff. I come across it on YouTube.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, and like they were saying, like the whole plant is edible. Rhizomes down the bottom that you can pull out and boil.
Yeah.
And they're better than potatoes. And apparently part of the stalk tastes like a cucumber.
Okay.
And a part of it you can use as a spring onion.
Yep.
And people in America use the top of it for firelighters, and the rest can be used for like cordage.
Okay. Now, which rush is it? Do you know?
I can't think of the name of it, but you must know it. You would have seen it. You know, when you grab the top of them, it's like a brown thing, and you pull it apart, you blow it, and all the seed, like cotton wool, goes everywhere.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, are you wishing to propagate it or eat it, or you want to grow it, or?
I'm not sure. I wouldn't mind trying it, though.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not going to poison you. You're fine. You can give it a go. The rhizomes are the one that's eaten mostly from that particular rush. And indigenous people have been eating water plants for thousands of years. So
are they indigenous to Australia or?
No, I think that one actually comes from USA. But there are there's lots of edible ones that are Australian, that are native to here.
Yeah, yeah. I actually heard as well that you can't use them if they're in dirty water because they carry toxins in it.
Yeah, I would be very careful eating any water plant in stagnant water, most definitely. So
Yeah. If I was to, like, up the road here near the oval, if I was to pull a few out and put them in fresh water and flush them out, would they be okay?
Absolutely. And you could do that, you know, in a bathtub or in a big tub and just that.
You could do it while you're washing your macaw.
While you're washing your macaw. But I would give it, you'd need to give it 3 weeks, Phil. 3 weeks of flushing. Yeah.
Okay, thanks for that.
Okay, thanks, Phil.
And good on you for calling, Phil. So lovely to talk to you. I want to hear more about the macaw. We'll have to talk about that another day. Hey, the phones have gone into meltdown. Let's whip through these questions, Savvy. Suzanne has got a question about a lime tree. Hi, Suzanne.
Oh, hello. I'm just inquiring about a six-year-old lime tree, which we hardly get any fruit.
Typical of a lime tree. Now, Suzanne, I have to tell you, lime trees give you nothing for the first 6 years. Nothing.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. They're just there to see how committed you are as a gardener. That's their role. And then,
they are testing us, for sure.
And then after 6 years, what you do is you go and go, you say to it, right, you're taking up too much space here. You're completely useless. I'm going to cut you down next year. And then they just listen to that and they go, poof, give you lots of flowers that actually turn into fruit. Because usually the flowers drop off, you get little tiny fruit and then they all drop off. It's to do with the root system. They want to know that they're in that place. They're safe. They feel at home. They've developed a really good root system and then they give you fruit.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you.
So next year or this year will be your year, Suzanne.
Just be patient. Let's head to Kenwick and find out what Cynthia's query is. Oh, just turn your radio down in the background, Cynthia. We're coming to you to chat mangoes, I think. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, Cynthia.
Great. Listen, I've got a very, very old mango tree. The thing is incredibly well ensconced into my back garden. But just this year, I've noticed that some of the leaves have got like some kind of fungus growing on them.
A black spot? And
not spots. No. It's just sort of like it's going dry.
Right. Okay.
From the stem towards the tip of the leaf.
Yeah.
And the tip of the leaf is green.
Yes.
But from the actual stalky bit, it's starting to feel a little bit like it's getting really old.
Yeah.
So it's fungusy stuff. I'm just wondering if that is something that I need to be concerned about, or whether that's just due to age, do you think?
It shouldn't be due to age, but I would definitely be giving that a spray with it. I would spray that as much of the tree as you can get with an anti-rot spray.
Okay, because it's fruiting incredibly right now.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering whether now is the time or...
Well, I'd wait until after you harvest. After you harvest.
Okay.
Yeah. And then definitely spray it with an anti-rot spray.
Okay. Good luck with that, Cynthia. We're going to head to Albany and chat about silver princesses in just a tick. But CC and Wickapen writes, good to know the fun and laughs have come across from the AM to the FM. Good on you, CC. Please, please help, because these beautiful, beautiful, beautiful old gums are having an old eucalypts are having an issue, and CC wants to know if they're going to survive or if it's a fungal disease.
It's not. It's so the tree we're looking at is the most magnificent gum
tree,
and it has a big sort of split that's going up the main trunk of the tree. Now, and it's quite an old tree by the look of it. This is definitely a stress, it's like a stress fracture. The only other thing that you need to check and see is if that is a termite trail that's going up there. When trees are under stress, they can certainly, particularly when they're growing, they get these growth splits. But it's going all the way down to the base of the tree. Because it's such a big tree, there's not too much you can do about it. If you can, CC, put a wetting agent around the tree and just put a sprinkler on and soak it. If you can get a bit of compost or even sheep poo to put around the base, I would definitely do that. I reckon it's a stress fracture. The other thing you could do is like put a sprinkler on, and I don't know how much water you've got because you're probably on a farm, but leave the sprinkler on for like 20 minutes so it gets a really good soaking. The only other thing you can do is actually get a tree syringe and get a Fos Inject type anti-rot spray. You need to inject the tree around the base of the tree every 10 centimetres around the trunk of the tree. So a Fos Inject liquid, it's an anti-rot, and the tree syringes. And it's such a beautiful tree.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's so beautiful. And CC's sent through a lot of love to you, Savvy. It's almost 10 to 3. Let's try and get through these calls.
Yep.
Sue's in Albany. What's happening with your silver princess, Sue?
Well, actually, nothing's happening with silver princess. I've just grown quite a few of them, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with them.
Okay.
Do you stake them, or what do I do?
How big are they now?
Well, I've got some that are only little bubby ones, like probably 3 inches to 4 inches tall, but two of them about a foot, about 8 inches tall.
Okay, so the ones that are 8 inches tall, I want you to nip the top out of them.
Oh, okay.
Because cool. I want it to develop side shoots, which will make it a lot more stable. Now, the trick is not to actually stake them. They have to move
a
little bit.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
But definitely take the tops out of all those that are tall.
Cool.
Even the smaller ones, actually, Sue.
Okay, cool.
And then pot them up into
bigger pot.
Yeah, a bigger pot. Yep.
Yeah.
So the deeper they don't, it doesn't need to be wide; it needs to be deep.
Deep.
Yeah.
Right. So, I wonder. So, do you think when they get a little bit bigger, I should take them down to a nursery and give them to them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I've got lots of them. I've got about 20 of them.
Lucky thing.
Or if you've got,
I was so excited when I found it. I just couldn't believe it. I found some seeds.
Beautiful.
And I just popped them in a pot, and next minute they grew. Ooh.
Are you doing a plant swap again this year?
We are.
Where are? Oh, you're in Albany. If you're coming to Perth.
I'm in Albany.
No. That might be a bit tricky.
But the other thing you could do, there's so many community groups there that are wanting I would put it on a community group page and just say you've grown all these.
Good move.
And share it with,
Yeah, down in Albany.
Yeah.
Good on you, Sue.
Oh, that's cool.
Your clever thing. Our silver princess has got a few gum nuts. Oh my gosh, my brain.
It's
going to start flowering.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, so exciting. So exciting.
I love the flowers.
Yeah, they're so beautiful. Thank you, Joe, in Harvey, who sent us a video of how to segment pomegranate. Thank you very much.
Was it as much fun as bashing it with a spoon and splattering red everywhere?
Works every time. Now, let's have a chat to Gary. Oh, not you, Gary. G'day, Gary.
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you.
Yeah, what can we do for you, Gary, in Perenjori?
That's it. I've got a beautiful passion fruit. It's flowering flat out. I've got lots of bees, but I cannot get any fruit.
Okay, I want you to go and have a close-up look at your fruit and see, and I want you to rub your fingers on the backs of those little paddles on the flower and see if any pollen comes off on your fingers. Because if it doesn't, then you won't get fruit because the plant's not making pollen.
Rightio. Everything else is there, but just...
Yeah, you have to have the pollen. Yeah, you have to have the pollen. So they're on those little paddles, which are called anthers. And even though you have bees, bees are actually not the best pollinators for passion fruit. So you can do the flick on the flower with your fingers. You just flick it so the pollen drops down. Or you can get a paintbrush and just go wiggle, 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 like the wiggles.
Rightio.
Yeah.
Someone said it's like a flowering one, but it's not going to fruit. And I said, oh, I don't think it. Do they make them or not?
You get the banana passion fruit, but it also fruits.
It's a purple one. Just a normal purple.
No. It should be fruiting, Gary. Should fruit. Yep.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Happy painting. Yeah. Roger's in Subi and he wants advice. I think you've got a patio you want to plant, Roger.
Oh. Hello, Roger.
Hi. Hello, ladies. Great show. Now, the situation I have is that it's exposed to the north and west summer sun, and it's a hot area. There is paving there.
Yep.
But I want something with a white flower.
Yep.
So I was initially thinking a dwarf oleander or dwarf frangipani.
Yeah.
But they're not easy to find. Now, I did ring about this a few weeks ago, and you mentioned the botanical name of another alternative, and I didn't quite get that down.
That was the crepe myrtle, Largestronia. Mm. Natchez, N-A-T-C-H-E-Z. Now.
N-A-T.
N-A-T-C-H-E-Z. And it's
Natchez.
It's a crepe myrtle, so it's deciduous, though.
Okay.
You want evergreen.
That doesn't matter.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yep.
As long as it's tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
Lovely.
Oh, they're so beautiful, Roger. Yeah. We've got a few in the garden on Savvy's advice. I'm going to squeeze in Mary's call. Happy planting, Roger. Mary wants suggestions for a property in Hilton. G'day, Mary.
Hey, Mary.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
My daughter's bought a new home and she's pulled out some plants. She's got a new puppy. Everything's, you know, dogs can't eat. Have you got some suggestions for a south-facing front of the house brick wall?
Yep. So I would. Does she want a native evergreen or what she want?
Well, that's what I've suggested.
Yeah. Okay. There is a beautiful gum tree called Todtiana, Eucalyptus Todtiana, T-O-D-T-I-A-N-I-A, Todtiana. Has beautiful white flowers, really tough. And the cockies love it as
brilliant.
Well.
I think just suggest that, Mary, and get her planting. Mm-hmm. You're a good mum calling on her behalf. Thank you very much. I'm going to just very quickly get you to try and help this lovely listener who sent in a text quite a while ago, Ed in Baldivis, and he says he drove to Mandurah this morning. FM signal was great. They've got a hedge in Baldivis. They've got an issue with the lily pilly. It does look a bit sad.
Yeah, it's not a lily pilly. It's an agonis. It's had that webbing caterpillar in it. You can't really do much about it. You need to cut away all that dead branches and hard prune it because all the dead leaves and the cluster of branches will not recover. So hard prune, unfortunately.
hard prune and get rid of it.
Yeah.
Sabby, you've got a better memory than me. Who was the lovely lady who had such success propagating the flowering gums that we just talked about?
Oh, the Silver Princess.
Yeah, down in Albany.
No, it would appear my memory is no better than
Maybe
yours.
Sim can remember. Who were we chatting to that was in Albany who had the Silver Princess? She
germinated all the seeds.
Sue. Sue, if you're still listening, a gazillion people are desperate for your silver princesses. And lovely Margaret says apparently there's a community garden in Humphreys Street, Albany, which is open Wednesday morning at 10:30. And she thinks they would like maybe to be able to distribute them. Jen wants them, so you won't have any problem sorting that all out. Now, Sabby.
Yes.
Andy is going slightly off WA topics. He's off to London. Is that what you mean? Have you been, Sabby, to the Garden Museum in Lambeth? Is it worth the trek? Cheers and thanks for tips and laughs.
Oh, my God. Yes, it is worth the trip to Lambeth. It is stunning.
I had a feeling you had strong views about this.
Yes. So go, you good thing.
Go and check it out. Is there anything in particular you should be checking out at this time of year?
Oh, no, just revel in the whole bloody thing. Just revel in the greenery.
Andy, you've made Sabby quite jealous, I think. Off you go to Lambeth and check it all out. There you go. You did it, my friend.
I did. FM.
Believe it. How long have you been doing this?
30 years.
Boy, oh boy. Say it one more time.
30 years.
No, say the name of the station.
Oh, 102.5 FM.
Good on you, love. You'll be doing it again with Ms. Cunningham on Saturday morning.
Certainly will.
You can practice saying that.
I'll try and remember.
Oh, boy. Thank you, Sabby. Thank you, Sabby.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.